Hello everybody and welcome to the Clip It podcast, episode 35. It's pretty insane. Now, the other day I was at work and I saw on the news, or I heard on the radio I should say, that SpaceX had finally launched their 800th rocket, I don't know, it was some news about it, SpaceX. And it got me thinking, I was like, how do rockets fly? Then I remembered they didn't. I'm the Drewer for himself, Tactical TV, and I am joined by Delicious.
What?
And Agent Oink.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5 out of 10.
I can see why you're embarrassed now.
I'm glad you two have joined us from around the globe. How are you both doing?
Yeah, I'm alright.
That's really good.
We nailed it there. I mean, you can tell that me and Phelan are on the same wavelength. I mean, yeah. We managed to both pause for the exact amount of time to wait for the other one to speak first and then speak exactly in sync.
That was actually beautiful. Oh, no, it's we're finally, you know, we're recording this a week before it should be uploaded. That's actually Pog. Can we get an applause?
Oh.
that's the applause from a man who is angry with me. How are you both doing this week?
You asked that, we're fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've changed in the past 5 minutes, but, you know, it's too long to discuss.
It's too long to discuss, fair enough, so it's good to hear. I wanted to do something slightly different today. I think we've done something like this before on the podcast. It's nothing, don't worry, it's nothing weird. I just wanted to read some interesting Amazon reviews because I read one the other day and I found it absolutely fucking mental.
Ah, Fit Baby, yeah.
And
that was a description.
I still don't have the context to this.
No one on earth will ever get the context to Fit Baby Ass. You just have to know that of every single thing I have ever seen in my life, every comedy special, every comedian stream, every entertainer, every book I have read, every TV show I've watched, every tweet I have seen, every video I have consumed, that is the funniest thing I have ever experienced in my life. That night, literally the funniest and best moment I will ever experience, like, just hands down.
It's Fit Baby Ass. Oh, I wish I was there to witness that. It's, oh, god damn it.
Up to 5 a.m. next time.
I will. It's not like, oh, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how you two do it. It's, I have to fall asleep.
A lot of shame from the family.
Anyway, yes, no, it came into my mind because this is going back a few months now, but of a review I sent to these two, of a, it was actually like a, it was a mount for this microphone. There was just an absolutely quality review in it where someone had just butchered the absolute living shit out of it to just make it fit their microphone. And it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen because I was like, what goes through someone's mind when they're trying to fix something that they bought that doesn't fit and they literally make it
Yeah.
Like, at what point do you go, you know what, I might actually just refund this? I don't know. It really, really just made me laugh.
They needed it, like, desperately.
Yeah, like they. The thing is, it was a what microphone? It was like a I want to say a Samsung or something like that microphone. It was honestly. So I thought I'd go out of my way and look for some quite amusing Amazon reviews. Some of these are funny because of the actual review. Some of these are funny because of the thing they bought. And I thought we'd just go through a couple of them, I'll read them out, and you know what, actually, should we make this a little bit of a challenge? Shall I read them out and you try and guess what the actual review is for? It's not like someone's already done that before. I'm trying to think of who, but I know someone definitely has.
A million people.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube and look up Amazon review guesses or something.
No, this is original. Original content.
You know what, Charles? This is as original as the concept behind Wordle.
True.
I've seen that everywhere, and I don't know where it came from.
I got a TV show about Wordle. Shit, man.
God. Anyway, you know, I want to start with this one because I keep seeing it everywhere. I keep seeing it when I'm scrolling through my list of them, and I just think it's one of my favourite ones. So, the review is from Joseph. He gave it a 1-star.
Oh, okay.
And the title of it is Incomplete Item. It's from 2015, and the review says, "This tent was missing its stakes, tarp, and fly cover. I had to cover it in vines and leaves for my camping trip, and I got soaked overnight when it rained. Coincidentally, my hepatitis is gone now. What do you think it could be?"
I'm really hoping it's a tent, be honest.
I mean, yeah, the immediate guess, a tent, but probably not.
Too obvious.
Yeah, it's a tent shape. Problem. I'll give you that clue.
Here's the immediate problem. People on Amazon are insane.
Yes.
Did you say it's tent shape?
Yes.
Did he buy a giant Toblerone?
Oh my god. That would be the best review for a Toblerone. No, it's not a Toblerone.
Yeah, because people on Amazon are insane, right? Like yes. The people on Amazon will put stupid reviews on shit, but specifically, people on Amazon will go to a perfectly normal product, and they will review it, and they will sort of just put some insane stuff towards the end. They'll be like, it'll be a fairly normal review, and then at the end, they'll just be like, and by the way, I'm dead. And you're like, wow, what a great review.
Yeah.
So that's going to really throw off what the fuck like I'm thinking, because that end could just be completely meaningless. That could just be a perfectly normal review for a tent that someone's just written that on for some reason.
I'll be honest, none of these reviews have that sort of twist. They are either just written, they're meant to be funny because the person's just trying to be funny, or it's someone just completely misunderstanding what the item was and just made a funny review by accident. This one I can tell you is just someone being funny, it's more the, how do I describe it, it's more what the actual thing is bought. I very much doubt they've actually bought it, because nobody should buy this thing.
This is not a verified purchase.
No. I would never purchase it, and I hope nobody in their right mind would.
Okay, there's a lot of confusion in your voice then when you said no. That should be a definitive answer.
Is it in the sex toys and lubricant category of Amazon?
No.
Damn, okay.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
I really don't know. Is it some sort of tent-based item, but not a tent? So like a tent model, or like a Lego tent, or like
no.
a child's tent?
I can give you a size if you want.
Sure.
6 foot.
So it's 6 foot in tent shape, but it's not a tent.
No. How wide is it? Is it proportionally accurate? Is it 6 foot proportionally accurate to a tent? Or?
It just says 6 foot, and I can give you the other measurement, which is 4-inch connectors. That's the only two measurements I give you on this item.
Is this just like some fence posting or something?
No.
Like tarpooling.
I will genuinely be more surprised you knowing what this is, but at the same time, you may have seen it, because I've definitely seen it around. Do you two want to have one last guess, and then we'll...
I mean, I'm stumped, honestly.
It is
maybe
tent-shaped.
It's a trampoline. Because you could sit under that, and the water would still sort of flow through a bit.
Okay, I'll give you a clue, because you two are stuck on tents. It's nothing to do with a tent. Nothing.
Well,
you can't
help.
You can't hide in it. You can't use it as cover.
Like you've said, it's tent.
You can't. Okay.
The
you can't physically.
To it as a tent. I think me and Phelan have both been operating on the print tent. It's probably not a tent.
You
don't really have much else to go off.
You can't physically use it as a tent. You could spiritually use it as a tent.
It's a shrine to a tent.
That needs to be a thing, wait
is
there.
Is it a sundance? Is it a purchasable sundance that you can perform after buying on Amazon and the rain will go away so you stay dry when you try and sleep?
Unfortunately not. It is a 6 foot Buddha. The title got me off then. A 6 foot Buddha, comma, the Christ Copper Meditation Pyramid System for Healing. Polished copper connectors with 4-inch capstones from each Buddha, the Christ Shambhala healing tool. And
I see what that is. Right.
Yes. And
that's
so
where you're getting tent shaped from.
Oh, that's where the reviews get tent shaped from.
Okay. Right. Okay.
You know, I'll be
no,
a lot easier for this one.
That. I've not seen one of those in years.
I've seen them around. I've definitely seen them
around.
Like
where?
Yeah.
Local library. What yeah. The... about?
No, my neighbour has one. No. I'll go really easy for this one. This if you don't guess this one, I don't even know. It's a 1-star review from Syphis. This is from 2012.
Comments if you meditate in the middle of a pyramid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
From Syphis from 2012, 1-star. I don't know if this is a scam or mine is broken, but it doesn't work and I'm still getting abducted by UFOs on a regular basis. Could this product be?
Is it
being abducted by UFOs?
Is it on a regular basis? Like anti-radiation necklaces that are actually radioactive, or like 5G denying like bracelets or something like that.
Is it a what?
A cow?
No, you're both wrong.
Alright, but mine was more accurate.
Yes. Yes. Cows do need to have those sort of radiation things.
No, I'm gonna ask you a question. Is it closer to a cow or an anti-radiation bracelet?
Anti-radiation bracelet.
Damn it.
Is it an anti-cow bracelet?
No, but I need that. Just walk up to a cow, hope it walks away. It's more literal than you... Yeah, it's more literal than you're thinking.
Anti-abduction bracelet, anti-abduction necklace, anti-alien, alien beamwave, alien defensive, shield necklace bracelet.
No.
Uranium isotope capsule... lead-lined protection from alien species.
You're so...
Preventing CIA
you've got
from
the right idea.
Fake alien abductions for weird reasons.
How have they got the right idea?
You've got the right idea. It's to stop aliens.
A Faraday cage that you can put around your phone to stop the aliens tracking your GPS signal and...
Close?
Is to stop aliens.
Is phone or GPS or Faraday cage close there?
Faraday cage.
Okay, Faraday cage, anti-radiation Faraday cage, anti-5G Faraday cage, anti... I don't know how close you expect me to get.
Sorry, you got the idea. Kind of. It's not something to stop aliens. It's a UFO detector with an internal magnetometer, wow, I can't say that, infrared with microcontroller for 24 hours, 7 day a week, I've just realised the title, for 24 hours, 7 day a week, detection, and basically.
I was too much defensive protection from abduction, but this is much more offensive protection, they were tracking down the aliens and avoiding them.
Yeah, just to make sure that you, make sure.
How are you feeling about that one, Phelan?
What on earth is... What?
You know, okay, going on... You know what, this is actually... You've already said this one in a way, so I'm going to say this one. Now, if you've got scientific knowledge, you're going to get this instantly.
I got the knowledge.
This is from Patrick from 2009. The title is Great Product, Poor Packaging. And the review reads, I purchased this product 4.47 billion years ago, and when I opened it today, it was half empty. What could it be?
I hate that.
Why?
So, some radioactive thing.
But what has a what radioactive element has... a half-life of 4.4 billion years.
Gordon Freeman? I'm fucking...
Well, a lot of them, like, probably.
Yeah. Cesium, plutonium, uranium. Don't expect me to know specific...
Yeah.
Say one. You've got one in three chance right there.
Well, there you go. I named those ones.
No, say one of them as your final answer.
Well, you said it was something we said earlier, so it must be cesium, then.
Did someone say cesium?
Okay, I'm going to say uranium.
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah, you got robbed on that one. You got absolutely robbed on that one, Delish.
I didn't... included cesium earlier.
Oh, I heard Alfie say uranium. I did not at any point hear cesium, so I do apologise.
The important thing to note about this podcast is that the second Charles hits record, his memory from before the podcast started recording is wiped. It's completely blank until afterwards. which the aliens reinstate his neurocortex.
Yes, and you know,
buy one of those detectors.
I don't eat enough uranium to keep my memory up just yet. So, God damn it.
The thing is that's something that was not necessarily specific to a nuclear isotope. Like, there are a lot of things that existed at the start of the universe, and you know, have been around in a stable state until, like, relatively speaking, cosmically recently, and then done stuff. So, like, you know, it could have been a lot of different elements.
That's fair.
Number of stars in the universe, shit like that.
How much do you legally buy off Amazon?
How much?
Hmm.
I mean, if you buy all of those, like, anti-radioactive isotope necklaces that are just actually, like, uranium, like, a lot.
Yeah. Oh, just get a bunch of,
Fire alarms?
Yeah. Don't both of them have
They use uranium. I don't know. I know they use a radioactive isotope, but
not uranium. It's...
I couldn't say what it was, but yeah, there's something in them. Is it radon?
I was gonna say, is it radon or something? I something in my head says radon, but
that could be related to something else.
That's telling me how much I can.
Sorry, I looked this up, and the result that came up was for American smoke detectors. I got the Environmental Protection Agency of America, and they use Americum 241 because, of course, they do.
Oh yeah, okay, yep.
There's an what? Okay, well, I just found a document on the .gov website talking about how much you can legally own. Let's read this quickly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Power could I get from this as well? Let's do some
American oxide.
I'm gonna make a nuclear power station in my back garden.
Illegal nuclear power station.
I was gonna say, because there was that famous, I say famous, it might not even be that famous, but there's a famous story in America, I want to say Texas, of a boy scout. He collected a bunch of fire alarms and tried to make his own something out of radioactive chemicals. I don't remember what he was trying to make, but he ended up getting arrested for it. And they had to... It was quite serious business. It was quite severe how much material he actually had.
Radioactive material together, it's not generally a good... No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. If you ever tried to, like, you know, replace the batteries on a smoker, because there's always that awkward thing where as you're getting them off, you accidentally press the test button, and now everyone's just listening to a smoke alarm going off. That's actually by design, so that when you've got one removed from its normal mounting position, the government know and they can track you down for stealing radioactive isotopes.
Really, it's like when you go to, as soon as you open the battery cover, there's like a bomb detonation timer because of the radiation inside.
You have 4 minutes.
Yeah, you have 10 seconds to replace the batteries or you're dead, you know?
Hmm.
That's awesome, I love that.
Wait, though, I'm just reading the radioactive material and radioactive waste in which outer scope of legalization. I'm just found that an interesting title, and I just wanted to see if there's anything funny in there, but no, it just talks about boring shit. Surprisingly, the definition of radioactive waste. I wonder what that could mean. Oh, okay. There's nothing too interesting. There's no like specific numbers in here.
I imagine it's quite a technical document. Yeah.
Yeah. contamination by lawful disposal. Okay.
Local dump.
just put it in the bin and let them deal with it. It's the government's problem.
I don't know how many people go around with like what are they called? The thing that go clicky click.
Geiger counters.
Geiger counter?
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. The first thing my brain thought of was the walkie sticks with a wheel at the bottom that used to measure distance for some reason. I really don't know why.
That is an interesting. Not many people walk around with them either, to be
fair. No, they don't. More people need to walk around with Geiger counters and walking measuring.
They should be combined into one.
Wheels.
Other clicking might get confusing. Perhaps not.
If you want the guy,
change the noise.
I found an absolutely brilliant website here from the Nottingham.ac.uk talking about the guidance for transport of radioactive material by road.
Oh yeah, probably so, in a car. Yeah.
Duties of the driver. Drive the vehicle whilst transporting is required to exercise responsible...
Duties of the driver. Drive the vehicle. Next section.
Yeah, literally, the driver of the vehicle whilst transporting...
Passenger, choose the radio station or something.
That is beautiful.
If you tune into BBC Radio 2 and start hearing weird sounds on your radio, you have a leak.
Yeah.
Oh, radio? Yeah, it's there. It's in the name. There's a little bit of cesium in your radio. Go pulling apart your car stereo. See what happens.
I love this. In the event of an accident, i.e. loss, just loss, he loses the vehicle, escape or theft of material, or vehicle suffers serious damage following a collision or involved in a fire, the driver is required to notify the police. Really? I feel like if you're just, if you did that in any car, you should, you know, notify someone.
I think that's good.
I mean, I still think that, like, a vehicle transporting nuclear elements is probably of more concern than, like, a car with, like, a piece of paper that was left on the backseat.
Oh my god, there's just a couple companies here from 2012. I think these are... Give me a moment. Yes, so these are Curious Service for Expected Packages. And what the first one I see has got a brilliant name. Vava Vroom Active Limited.
I love that.
Oh, and their fucking email is VV active at, and I'm not gonna say the rest of it, but I fucking love that. Absolutely brilliant. Well, there's not really much talking about limit in, well, at least I can't find UK numbers.
I'm not sure that, like, that there are many laws in this in like this country that I know of that are like you can own or you can possess certain amounts of a chemical. I'm not sure that's really how like our chemical regulation works. It's more like you have to be licensed to handle the chemical. Having any at all is bad. Like, radio,
I'm just trying to think of the when we were trying to make the rockets back in school. What the situation on that?
I would like to clarify. I was not involved in this. This didn't happen. This was not a breach of the law.
Well, it wasn't.
Just if we use potassium nitrate, please, someone.
I wanted to use fucking cat litter.
You say it wasn't. It kind of was. But what, you know?
It, well,
as far as I'm aware, it
was. It was in a grey area.
Yeah.
I think the planning of it was fine. It was the owning of significant amounts of.
Yes.
Yes.
What would be classed as, yeah.
But God knows where that's gone these days.
All I'm going to say is that our school teacher did not mention the Anarchist Cookbook. This has never happened.
Love that man.
I don't.
I was joking. Right, that's how I'm just
going. More reviews.
More reviews, right. Oh, these are so long, some of these I've written down. Let me just find some, let me just look at this. Fucking hell, how many did I write down?
Too many by the sound.
I think we need a quickfire round.
Quickfire round.
I do not think that's happening with how this is going.
Oh, here we go. Oh, brilliant. So, this is from 2015 by Jason. It's five star, and the title is It Literally Survived a Tornado. I bought this from my father-in-law for Christmas. His home was completely demolished by an EF4 tornado the next day. Ooh. The following day, entitled Torrential Rain, today we found the said item, almost said it, amongst the soaking wet rubble of his home. Amazingly, it powered right up and is in perfect working order. What could it be? You're not right with tornado alarm.
So what we can inform from that is that it's an electronic device. It powers up.
Yes.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's battery powered. It could have been disconnected, then plugged in somewhere else after it was found or something like that.
Yes, and it's not a child.
Sure.
And it could survive a lot of water and a lot of sort of, you know, wind, I suppose, although it might not necessarily have been an area where it's getting blown about too much, but...
The only thing I can think of that would have been strong enough would have been a product from Xiaomi.
Panasonic Toughbook.
Okay, true.
No, but that's a good shout.
Yeah, it is a product designed to be able to withstand that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this could just be an average phone. This could just be like a Yumidigi phone that someone's bought for 150 quid on Amazon, because like, that could just survive being in water. Like, it's kind of just a bit of luck, really.
Yeah.
Is it like a safe or something?
It's... You're closer with the phone.
Oh, yeah. Told you it was a Xiaomi product. Now available from your local retail.
Is it like a torch or like an emergency communications device or like a radio or something like that that's designed to survive these things and it's just, you know, survived because it's what it's designed for?
I'll give you that. It's a wireless speaker that's waterproof.
Okay.
But it's not specified. It's not specified that it's like meant to be surviving massive tornadoes or any sort of like destruction. Just waterproof. Now, here's one I just found that I find quite amusing, and it's got the title of what it is in it, but I'm just gonna blank those out. So this is from a verified purchase, Adam, in 2016, rated it 1 star, and his the title is blank should blank should look like blank. I ordered this when I was drunk because I thought it was a giant ice cream sandwich. It's not.
Giant inflatable bed.
It's fuck. Yeah, it's not the $150 ice cream sandwich I wanted.
Yeah.
How? I know you're drunk, but like...
It doesn't look like an ice cream sandwich, to be fair.
Mm.
You seem to be denying this. It's an ice cream sandwich. I mean, it's got big, like, chocolatey coloured top and bottoms and ice cream middle.
Fair. Like, it doesn't though, in my opinion, but okay.
And I'm sorry, but you're just wrong. I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, like, you know, how did you buy it still? Didn't you, like, even when you were drunk, like, didn't you question it was $150 or whatever? Like, you know, whatever. But, like, it does look like an ice cream sandwich. Sober me thinks it looks like an ice cream sandwich.
Okay. I don't eat ice cream sandwiches, so...
Evidently.
Do we? I haven't had one since primary school. If I would have, I genuinely can't think of.
Not anymore.
Any time I would have had them. Right, just looking through some of my. I'm just actually looking around now because like the ones I've got are just really long winded. Right. Yes. Oh, wow.
That's so, what you're finding.
We will be not too much.
What?
No.
Oh, you know what I actually did hear about, talking about Amazon fucking reviews. I don't know if
Sorry,
this is...
was that the end of that segment?
Yeah. Just... No. I'm still looking, but it's Amazon related.
Right.
I heard... I don't know if this is new or old, but I heard that Amazon... Amazon delivery drivers, they used to not accept people who would smoke marijuana. They would, you know, that I understandable. But apparently they because of a shortage, they've started to just allow more or less anybody to become an Amazon delivery driver.
Awesome.
To just try and get as many people in, and
have they tried paying people?
Have they tried giving them okay hours?
Yeah, normal, like, rights, like the ability to stop and go toilet, something like that. I think that might help.
Oh, talking about delivery drivers, I was doing my driving lesson today, and as I was walking, I was going up a single lane road, and just as I was about to get to the junction at the end of it, a delivery driver pulled right around the corner and just parked up on the side, like, halfway across the curb. I was like, my God, my instructor was like, they just park anywhere, don't they? I'm like, yeah, unfortunately, they just do what they can.
Like, I mean, they're kind of forced to, yeah.
Oh, but some of them just can't drive. No offense.
I mean, yeah, because they lose their job if they don't.
That's true.
But I just got an update on something we were talking about. I'm trying to think if it was on the last podcast.
Oh, stop using advanced mathematics like that, bloody hell.
Do you want to just say it and then we'll...
So, do you remember? I don't know if this was in personal discussion or not. We were talking about the Chinese rover and how the news about that just sort of dropped off.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about it last week.
They found the actual pillar and was like, oh my God, it's proof of the divine creator. And
wait, if they know. Actually...
I randomly got recommended a story from The Express from 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Confirmation. Hold your horses here, you're not going to believe it. It was nothing more than a rock.
God damn.
No way. But we got an update.
It's a pretty big rock, though.
That's insane. Wow, Phelan, you're not...
a Chinese journalist. No, sorry. A journalist who covers the Chinese space program on Twitter.
You're not kidding, Jesus.
Look at that.
We've actually got an update. Took them. I knew because I knew it said when I read the article originally, it said it was going to take them 2 weeks to like get there or something like that. I don't know, but
they're now calling it Jade Rabbit for its appearance.
Wow.
Well,
there we go. Some news.
Also, yeah, a lot smaller than it looked originally, like in that photo.
Yeah, yeah. There's no perspective. There's nobody standing next to it to understand the scale.
There's definitely something going on there. Then, if it's suddenly like five times smaller, then about you guys. We need a UFO detector on the moon.
That sounds weird. I mean, I reckon maybe like they fucked up something in the perspective of the moon set or something at NASA, but
the world is flat, obviously.
Someone should still look into it. The moon is flat. That's what I believe. I believe that every other planet is a sphere in the entire universe, but the moon is flat. That'd be awesome.
No, it would be. It'd be an interesting way of looking at the world.
And it wouldn't be awesome. It would suck in like numerous ways. Trying to maintain a flat space with gravity is like very hard. Trying to exist and move on a flat disk with gravity is very hard. It would just be awful, but it'd be cool.
Fair.
I'd be up for giving it a go.
Now I've got. I'm going to do this one last review.
Ooh.
It's awesome. From Cat. Got 5 stars.
Yeah.
From 2020. And the review is no complaints from Grandad. What is the item?
Ticket to Switzerland?
No, but can you buy tickets on Amazon?
Pension?
No. Same question.
I think one of those might have skipped Charles as well, which is probably a good thing.
No complaints from Grandad. Okay, it's going to be like one of a few things for me. It's going to be something like very like actually like serious and useful for someone's granddad, and it's going to be like a
you could
like a
say
device
it was,
or something.
You could say it was really useful and quite serious.
Or it could, yeah, or it was going to be like socks.
So what?
Was it a coffin?
Yeah. It's a Titan casket.
You can get coffins on Amazon?
Yes.
Apparently.
Well, that makes sense, I suppose.
It's like the online Walmart. You can get anything. It's awesome.
Can't get AKs on Amazon?
You want to bet? Not with that attitude.
I'm sure there must be some.
AK-47.
Not on Prime.
Well, you're probably going to get an Amazon. You're probably getting an Airsoft one.
82-centimeter long army force AK-47 rifle toy gun with light sound of vibration.
Don't want to go. There you go. Found one.
Oh, wow.
$19.99. Not bad.
Oh, awesome.
I get £5 when I play a song on Amazon Prime Music.
Oh.
That looks so bad. That's awesome.
I love it.
I like it when they do those promotions.
Also, not an AK-47. Or she know that.
Nice.
What? You lied.
I can get a cigarette case with an AK-47 picture that's not even scaled correctly to it because it's made by a bot. That's awesome.
Oh, I love it. Well, I was just looking at news articles, gaming news articles, and I just see this one, and it makes a U-turn, but, like, for the good.
Right.
Tabletop Simulator Studio kills global chat for good. Makes 10k donation to trans, group. There we go. There's a word there, but I can't actually pronounce it, because I'm an idiot. But like, it's like they were writing that and they went, right, this is a boring title. Oh, this also happened. Yeah, that's really good to see. I'm hoping it is, at least. They donated 10k to the National Center of Transgender Equality. There we go.
Center was what you couldn't pronounce?
No, the word is ADV.
Adversary?
Yes.
Adversary? What is that in here? Guessing it's not that one.
And literally the entire article is just talking about how they donated 10k to this group, and nowhere does it mention about the chat. So I'm guessing they just wanted to put that in the chat for some reason. They wanted to put that in the title for some reason, and just didn't want to name it Tabletop Stim Studio donates 10k to trans that word group. Okay, interesting.
It sounds like the
is the word you're looking
related
for just advocacy?
Advocacy, yeah, there we go.
Okay.
I just couldn't pronounce, yeah. Well, that's, I'm glad to see that. I'm actually kind of, I don't know how I feel about them getting rid of global chat. I didn't really ever use it, to be completely honest, but I'm guessing it caused more issues than...
Yeah, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Basically. Global chat in games is okay, but, like, Tabletop Simulator is not a game where anyone should care. Like, who's going to use global chat in that game?
Yeah.
It's a bit different to, like, an MMO or, like, a big FPS or something where, like, there's, like, the new update to discuss with other people and shit like that you can do in global chat while you're queuing. And, you know, things like that, right? But... Yeah. Cool, though. And I don't see much about the tabletop devs.
No, yeah, good point. I haven't actually seen anything. Sega files trademarks for Sega NFTs. Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the Sega Twitter was so cool.
Wow. Oh, we're talking about NFTs. Troy Baker's doing an NFT and everybody hates it. Good.
Well, I mean, we just want to point out that NFT, the NFT, like, what do you call it? Like, company, group, organizer, platform, whatever the fuck they are. That he's using is already been found to like be completely illegal, breaking copyright law, and had to apologize for completely illegally using someone's content. So, you know, it's gone well. Only took literally a day.
Huh. I'm going to read into this title quickly. Guy brags about ripping off Wordle and changing it to charging for it, gets blasted off Twitter. Who? Why? Is this where the whole thing happened? I haven't seen anything about Wordle. I just keep seeing people tweet about it and have no idea. Don't really care.
People just keep tweeting about it.
But I find that quite amusing.
Yeah, the main controversies I've seen around Wordle is that there's that one guy that made an iOS app called Wordle that was paid and like just branded as if it was the official app and not the completely free, completely unmonetized web version that is the real one. And then two, it was a bunch of NFT bros getting really confused at how Wordle is popular, and the person didn't even put advertising on it. They were like, what? How? What? You make website, not make money from people? And it just blew their minds, which is quite entertaining.
That's fair. Yeah, I literally just came into it randomly. I was on stream, I saw people tweeting it, decided to go on Wordle to see what the fuck it was, and failed. I know, yeah, I failed my first round, and I just gave up on it because I'm dyslexic. Yeah, now this is news I haven't seen before, but interesting. Riot will pay employees 25% of their salary to quit if they aren't convinced by its new direction. So this is coming from Riot. Riot will pay any employee 25% of their annual salary if they quit now, where applicable. Employees who accept the offer will receive 3 months of subsidized health benefits and won't forfeit upcoming bonuses. Riot isn't trying to cut costs by thinning its headcount, according to the CEO. We're trying to grow the business, he said. We just want to make sure that we have the right team of people who are highly motivated. What's your thoughts on that? Good.
Right. I feel like they could just pay people more and maybe not have to get into gender discrimination lawsuits, of which all of the people criticized it are pretty much still working at the company that they just paid out $100 million on, but yeah.
It's an interesting way of going around it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that a lot of companies could fairly standardly do with that scale.
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's like, I can understand you want a team of motivated people, but at the same time, like, is that really the best way of looking at it? Are you forcing people to feel like they should quit because they're not motivated? Are you putting a bad mindset into someone's mind because they don't feel motivated into their job? Obviously, you know, it's nice that they're not forcing people out of it, like some companies. But it's an interesting one for sure. Riot haven't got out of this whole companies being shitheads very well, to be honest. Doing better than Activision, though.
I mean, their lawsuit got swept under the rug a lot more than Activision did.
Yes.
Kind of because of the situation at the time and so on, but
yeah.
Both suck, basically, is my take.
Fair, yeah.
I want to remind you that Activision Blizzard King Workers and Raven quality assurance workers are still on strike and still being replaced by scabs. So, you know, that sucks. Like Amazon, Amazon, Activision could just like pay them, but no. Only turnover billions in profit a year. Can't do that.
Right, I want to read into this article. I'm just going to say the title and maybe we can talk about it, because this is obviously a topic we've spoken about before and had long, wonderful conversations about. Microsoft doesn't see Game Pass as a replacement for game purchasing. And this has come from Phil Spencer in an interview he had with the New York Times. I'm just going to read into it, see what he says. But Game Pass is great, especially in its current state. It has, it's the best game subscription service in the market, in my opinion. Nowhere really comes close to that. But I don't know. I feel like it could get to a point where owning games isn't going to necessarily be.
We don't know. That's already gone.
Yep.
That
true,
went a long
yeah.
time ago.
True.
That's the key thing I was going to bring up in reference to this. I agree. I don't think that Game Pass is a replacement for current version of purchasing games. Because like it doesn't do that. I mean, one doesn't cover every game, so it's obviously not going to be that. But like Game Pass is great for what it is. If you want to get to play a wide selection of games for what is a relatively reasonable price, especially talking like new releases and stuff, and then maybe you cancel that and buy that game because it's just the only game you want to play for a couple months or whatever. Like, you know, Game Pass has a lot of really, really good use cases in that sort of that sort of sense. But at the same time, purchasing games is still obviously going to be a thing because it's just people like to own stuff as much as they quote-unquote own them. Although I still think that the current state of ownership of video games is incredibly dismal. You know, every single video game that my entire household purchased on old consoles is on a shelf just outside my door. But every single game that I own, quote-unquote now, since like the online era, I kind of don't own. I couldn't give that to a mate if they want to play it.
Yeah.
I can't do anything with it. I can barely refund half of them. I can't sell them secondhand. You know, all of that shit has been taken away very deliberately. And I think that is like, for me, that's something that I really, really want people to like, you know, the games industry to move back towards is like actual proper ownership of games, because the current situation sucks. It just sucks so hard.
No, yeah, it kind of reminds me, going back a couple years, of that whole meme skit Sony did with the when literally an hour before Microsoft were like, well, our games have DRM, you can't, like, if you buy a disc game and you use it on one console, you can't use it on the others, and they literally just made a quick skit saying this is how you share games. Yeah, we are currently in a state, especially PC gaming, where and you know what, player consoles are more or less transferring to it right now. You know, people still buy disc games, but not as commonly as they used to.
I mean, no,
nobody really goes into a shop and buys a game anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you try to, like you say, there are DRM things in place for one.
Yeah.
A lot of disc games now aren't even the games on a disc. Like the ones that still have discs, a good portion of them are literally just like a license key, and you put it into your console, and the console's like, oh yeah, I'll download that for you to hard drive right now. And then some of them don't even bother putting the disc in. They're literally just like a code or whatever that you can input in, right? In a standard CD case, as if they were. So like that whole thing is the thing, and I think it's ironic. Like I do get why, like, you can enjoy like skits like that when they're made by companies and shit. But I mean, it's also incredibly fucking, like, you know, hypocritical for PlayStation/Sony of all companies to do something like, huh, we're pro sharing games unless you want to play on PC. Like, you know, they're like one of the worst for that historically.
You know what? Actually, no. Yeah, it will carry on. Yeah, no. I was gonna do a silly transition.
Like, I'm not trying to say that in terms of like, oh yeah, you know, Microsoft and Xbox have a great track record. No, they don't. They all have a shit track record. I mean, for fucking out, until like 2 years ago, you couldn't even stream a Nintendo game without like 14 lawsuits coming down on you. You know, like the industry is in a real shit place in that regard. And, the games industry is one of the most predatory and money hungry industries on the planet by quite a long way in terms of consumer rights and shit. It is really abysmal.
No, I would 100% agree with you on that.
And like the policies of companies and like actually paying the staff that make the games as well is also awful.
It is. It kind of, like, someone, a new friend of mine, he wants to get into Tarkov, and so I said, because he couldn't buy it, at least he couldn't buy it. He wanted to pay for PayPal. He couldn't pay it for PayPal. That was the sentence. So I offered to buy it for him as a gift, and he would just send me the money. So I did. And Battle State make it so awkward for you to just buy a game on their website. Let alone you have to own the game to be able to purchase it as a gift. You can't just make an account and purchase it as a gift straight away, which I find a bit odd, but I guess that makes sense. But like, but it's just the whole process of just trying to buy the game in the general is so awkward and painful. And they're one of the worst companies when it comes to ownership of your game. And they've got such a shit back end for it. You know, if your game gets hacked or your account gets hacked or something happens to your version of the game or anything, you're more likely better off to just buy a new version of that game and without, you can't even deal with it. You never get to them. You never get through it. I've only known one person who's had an issue with their account and it's actually being sorted out of like 10.
Very epic.
They've always been bad when it comes to that. You were going to say Delicious?
Yeah, I was just going to mention in there, but I think it is weird on like the gifting system specifically of all platforms. Obviously Steam has a lot of problems, but it by far and away has the most developed gifting system, and it's been like it for as long as I can remember at least. And other platforms just don't offer. Some platforms, I think Uplay still doesn't offer a gifting.
Uplay's my favorite. Yeah,
I'm not sure Epic Games does. So you're
not
that
I'm aware of, no.
And you say battle, you have to own the game to.
Yeah.
Which is. I guess the option's there at least.
Yeah.
I think that sort of thing's still insane though. Like how some of these platforms have been around for many years. Especially, to be fair, I've always held Epic in a higher light because I want it to be bigger, to be fair. So perhaps that's not fair. But I really thought they'd want to add as many competitive features as quickly as they could.
Here's my take on that.
They've kind of slowed down with the development of Epic, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah, my take on that is that Epic Game Store is awesome as a competitor to Steam.
Yep.
But it's a shit product. It's made like absolute trash. It's laggy as fuck. It's a horrible app. It logs you out every fucking picosecond. It's laggy. Sometimes you log in after not opening it for like a month because why would you ever have the fucking store open, frankly? Because of how shit it is. And you open it, and it's just like, oh, I'll type my username and password, press enter, and I'm just staring at a white box. Awesome, great. Like, glad your Electron application doesn't work, Epic. Close it, open it, and maybe 5 times later, I finally got in. Oh, yeah, I want to purchase this product. Oh, no, it's, like, crashed again. Like, I have so many problems with that. Okay, crashing's a bit hard. But it just, the actual app itself very rarely works for me. And again, that sucks, because again, I'm 100% on board with Epic. They're paying out better cuts is good. A competitive Steam is good. But it really feels like the company is letting people down in terms of the actual, like you say, the development work they're putting into the store. It feels like they got it to an okay enough standard, where it's functional at least to some degree, and now they're sort of slowly drip-feeding features, like the development team was just reduced in size significantly. When really, they should be pushing absolute fucking full steam ahead, like just slamming out features, absolutely decimating Steam, making alternatives to remote play. I mean, Epic's a massive company, they can absolutely do that, you know, you know, shit like this, but I don't know, maybe the Epic Games Store team has better rights than the Fortnite team and they won't crunch. So that's probably something to do with it. I'd also like to point out, in terms of Battle.net, not to give any credit to Activision, but just to clarify, as someone that's used Battle.net for quite a long time, classic way of gifting someone a game on Battle.net is just give them a gift card. You've always been able to just give people gift cards for Battle.net credit, so if someone wants to buy a game, you just give them the money for it, rather than giving them the game. Which is stupid, you should just be able to gift them the game, but that is the historical tradition of how you would do it.
Fair. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel. That's like, that's not even a step above PayPaling someone the money.
No, absolutely, I'm with you.
Obviously, not everyone has PayPal, but this is an interesting one. I genuinely didn't know that.
As someone that's used it for a long time, like traditionally, like it is such a thing that I'm not sure if this still exists, but back in the day, right, you used to be able to directly buy someone a gift card for WoW subscriptions, which is something that people used to do for me. Well, that happened to me once, I think. I said that like I had a big swarm of people giving it me constantly. Shit like that, right? Like, it was quite a big thing of like the Battle.net platform, especially in its early days. But no, it's stupid. You should just be able to give someone a game. It's not a hard feature to do in a store. You have to keep your current exact purchasing system, except the account that it's going to, just change the ID. I don't know how it's hard. It's not like adding a gifting system to a storefront is a particularly complicated development endeavor. You know, like it's a bit of UI work, a bit of front end, and pretty much minimal on the back end.
Yeah.
I've just found a Trello for the Epic Games Store, so I'm just reading through that now and I'll let you know. So that's what they've
Also, Steam is one of those platforms that But again, I don't want to big up. Steam sucks in so many ways for a lot of people. It's got so much shit things about it. I think that, you know, and I know a lot of people like the Steam marketplace and like being able to sell their skins in CSGO and Team Fortress and shit, but I still think that's predatory. I still think it's gambling and it's predatory and it shouldn't be a thing at all. It's bad. I just think it's really bad, especially that they're like, you know, someone like me in my 20s can be like, oh yeah, that's a thing and it's bad. But there are people that are like 8 years old using Steam, and I know they shouldn't be, and I know that you have to be 13 to make an account, all this shit. But there are people that are 8 years old selling items on CSGO right now. And that's bad. That's really, really bad. Like, you can't, like, demean how bad that is in terms of the platform. But Steam does have some real basic features that other fucking stores need to catch up on in terms of, like, library sharing. Right? Library sharing is a great feature on Steam. And that is still, I still think, absolutely fucking shit in comparison to I just actually own my game and can lend a friend a game like how it used to be and should exist in a digital age. But at least it's a step more than not being able to do anything. At least someone might be able to sometimes play a game that I own on my behalf. You know, like, it's...
Yeah. As long as you're not playing it.
Small things like that that really would be good. And I also think there's areas of Steam that just shouldn't be a thing. Like, a lot of Steam community doesn't need to be a thing. like, a huge portion of Steam community is just, like, racist posting on Steam, like, guide pages for things. And a lot of Steam reviews are just, like, spam-reviewed, whether good or bad, you know, like, just review-bombing games. There's loads of things like that. Steam just sucks them, you know?
The thing I absolutely hate on Steam with an absolute passion are those guides that people make where it literally just, you can put it on your front page of your Steam account and it just ruins, you have to scroll down about 15 yards just to get to the bottom. I hate those with an absolute passion.
Those are very epic.
Makes it really annoying.
I mean, Steam profiles are, again, like, a weird part of culture.
Yeah.
You know?
They are, like, that...
Like, it's hard to explain. Like, again, this is something that I've always found interesting, because, you know, gamers that are young, like I said, like, those 8-year-olds are on Steam right now, they don't remember a time. Like, it's weird for me, at my age, and I'm sure it is for you guys as well, to conceptualize being a gamer in a sense of that, like, I play video games or whatever, right? And not remembering a time where, like, you could just give your mate a game, right? You could buy a game in store, you'd go into town, you'd buy a game on a physical thing, you'd play it and go, that was a good game, I'm gonna give that to my friend because I really enjoyed that, and they'll play for it and then they'll give it back to me. That was a perfectly normal, fairly common occurrence that you used to do, because you could just give people games, and that's just gone now. And it like, there are kids that have just never even conceptualized that was ever a thing. Like, their entire experience of games is, like, you know, Google Play Store and the Apple App Store and shit. And the absolute horrific state that mobile gaming is in terms of its predation.
I don't know what you mean.
The online games, again, like, they're just used to, like, this weird platform. When I purchased fucking Red Dead Redemption 2, right? I really enjoyed Red Dead Redemption. It's one of my favorite games. The original thing, I played it on whichever console I played it on. And it was a great time. Like, it was a really solid time. It's one of my favorite games I've ever played, like, through flat. Like, it had a very good time for it. So I purchased Red Dead Redemption 2 pre-order, which was a stupid decision. I absolutely don't deny it and don't recommend anyone ever does that, right? But I purchased it because at the time, the only place you could pre-order it, on the Rockstar Game Store client, whatever the fuck it's called. That has not only, like, broke at the time and, like, broke when I was pre-ordering it, it literally, like, crashed on multiple occasions and didn't think I'd bought it but had charged me the money and I managed to resolve it. But, like, the other day, like, when they released the GTA remasters and shit, went down for days because they just can't even maintain the store. And since purchasing Red Dead Redemption 2, I launched it once and I've literally not even had that store installed on my PC since. Because I don't. And, like, that's a prime example of something that, like, yeah, it's stupid. On my heart, it's 100% my fault that I, one, pre-ordered the game, two, I bought it on that platform, yada, 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 right? But at the same time, why would I ever open that store? It's so shit. You know, it's so full of bugs, and it's so unnecessary as well, that it's just, like, kind of sad that, like, a game that I literally paid, like, 65 quid for is just sat there, just, like, you know, collecting dust. And part of the reason I didn't play it originally is because it didn't perform at all on my PC. I got, like, no frames, and I couldn't really use it, but that's got a lot better now, from what I understand. But, you know, like, diverging, like, all of these games platform into, like, a million different platforms is a good thing, in my opinion, when the platforms are big collective stores, but it's a bad thing when X company is like, you can only purchase our game on our platform that we're not maintaining properly at all. I think that really sucks, which I would also apply to, like, you play in Origin and stuff. Oh. As someone that's actually just refused to use them my entire life because they just suck.
You talking about this, actually, I saw a tweet. Someone said, I can't remember who it was, and I do apologize, but someone said, one thing we need to make illegal is when you buy a game on Steam, purchase it, and then you have to install Uplay or Rockstar or whatever to launch the game, even though you bought it on Steam. Why is that a thing? I bought it on this platform. I want to play it from this platform. I don't want to download seven other fucking things.
Yeah, another good thing to mention in that, actually.
Uplay is the worst offender for it.
Steam takes a bigger cut than Epic Games Store. Right? And that's worth noting. And also, there's Steam market fees and all of the other stuff and the licensing fees you have to pay to get a game listed on Steam and shit. In other words, Valve are rich. I think everyone in the gaming industry is fairly comfortable saying Valve make a lot of money and the majority of it from Steam, right? That's fairly comfortable in saying. Next thing I'd like to point out is that most gamers don't think too hard about how these companies work, right? It's why very few gamers are aware that when a video game is made, the process generally starts with a smaller development team speccing out the game and doing the very early planning. Then you ramp up into a, relatively speaking, much larger, bigger development team. And then the second the game launches, that cuts right back down again. You fire most of those people and move them to different projects, right? And then you maintain on a much smaller development team, putting out patches and stuff. Unless you explicitly have content like DLC, where some of that development team would go to DLC, but still, the overall majority wouldn't be working on the game anymore. And it either moved to a different project of the company or straight up fired. And sadly, very commonly fired. Especially in the move towards games as a service, where games now are not, like, companies aren't moving on to make new games after they release a game. They're just going to, oh yeah, we'll just reduce the development team, maintain some DLC and patching and do some season work, and then that's it, right? So that sucks, and it's important to note that, like, there are real predatory practices. And one of those things is Steam refunds. Steam refunds are shit. So do I think you should be able to refund your game? Yes. But here's the problem with Steam refunds. Steam refunds are a set time. And Steam is actually, a lot of people don't actually know this. People just associate it with a 2-hour mark. That's not actually true. Steam has refunded me games that I've played more than that of, quite commonly. And basically, they have some leeway on it. So when I say, a lot of people just for some reason say that the Steam refund period is 2 hours. From my experience, I'd say the Steam refund period is like 2 hours, give an hour or so. Like, I you know, they tend to be fairly flexible, that number for me. But the important thing with the Steam refund period to note is that if you're buying like a big AAA company's game, and you're buying it with like Steam credit balance or something like that, like whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. When you refund it, the money just goes back to your account and that company never sees the money effectively. It's fairly simple, like nothing really happens. But if you use credit card transactions on Steam, as in you put in your credit card, then the credit card fees, the way the Steam agreement works for listing a game, the company selling the game has to pay. So if you're purchasing a game from a small indie developer, or a thing, and you think you might want to refund it, please, for the love of God, use Steam credit or some other system, because the credit card fees when you add Steam credit for your credit card are paid by Steam. But if you do a credit card purchase of a game and then refund it, that company gets, you know, charged or given a plus £20 that you bought the game, right? But then obviously that gets taken away minus the credit card fees that they also additionally paid. So if you purchase a game on Steam from an indie and then refund it, you just cost them like £5. And that sucks. Because that should be paid by Steam. That should be paid by Valve, 100%. Like, they could easily afford it. There's no reasoning on earth that Valve could not afford to pay credit card fees on behalf of every single person on the platform. Like, you know, the company is big. The store is insanely sized. You know, it would be absurd to not just do that by default. But it's a really important thing to think. If you're refunding games, like, please consider that if you're buying it from a small team, to not use credit card purchasing, because credit card purchasing will just cost the money if you refund it. Which a lot of people are under the impression that it doesn't. That it's just neutral, and that's not the case.
Just don't buy games and credit cards.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay, never mind. Debit cards, yeah. Well, I rarely buy... I'm at a point where I rarely...
Credit or debit card. People just use credit cards.
Can I use gift card?
Steam gift cards, yeah, are different. Because you're purchasing the money to Steam, and then Steam pays the fees of you topping it up with a card, and then, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Didn't expect that, I'm not gonna lie. No, that's fair. Anyway, is there any last things you'd like to talk about?
Oh damn, it's gonna be a shorter one.
It's an hour.
Yeah,
it could be 3 hours. I mean, you laugh it off, but it's true. Oh. It was the man who had the pig heart transplant. That was kind of epic.
What?
Damn, you don't even know.
No.
he did the first transplant of first so far seemingly very successful full transplant of a full pig heart that was genetically modified as much to be as compatible and least rejectable by the human body, and it's going fairly well.
Wow.
It was a fairly obviously complex operation and very last resort type thing for the patient. It just generated a lot of controversy because at first a lot of people were like, wow, that's cool, you know, new medical step forward, doing a xenotransplant like that very successfully. But also the individual that received the heart is controversial because he's the perpetrator behind a crime in 1988, a stabbing of someone 7 times that left the person paralyzed. Mm. And then the person later died of complications from the stabbing, but I think like 2 decades later, so quite a while later.
Oh, fair.
But yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, obviously sparked up a debate of like, one, should we do, you know, what are the ethics of xenotransplantation? Should we be harvesting organs from animals? Yes. Should we be genetically modifying them? But it also brought up like, should we give medical treatments to people that have committed crimes? Which the answer is yes, but people argue about that.
We made that decision a while ago with the NHS, I feel like, but...
Yeah. I feel like it's something that can be questioned a lot more by countries that don't have national healthcare systems.
Oh no, definitely.
Yeah, because
yeah.
For me, the concept of a healthcare system considering literally anything other than your health is just absurd.
Can't wait for an American like health crime tax or something. Like they check your report. If in the past awesome. 3 years you've committed any like misdemeanors or felony or anything, it's like 10% extra.
I'm sure that exists.
It must do. Surely.
That just must exist, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you might be right.
Googling it. I need to know.
Well, it's certainly a way to fucking finish the podcast.
Yeah, it is very cool, though.
Yeah.
When are we getting the first head transplant?
Soon, I would say, honestly.
Yeah, nice. I mean, there was meant to be the other, was it the Russian fella?
Oh, the paralyzed Russian fella.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, he's, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's wheelchair bound. From the neck down, I could be wrong.
Something like that. But yeah, I think there were just way too many hurdles to go through, and in the end they ended up not going through with it.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I'm not sure what doctor could get approved. I think the doctor was, as far as I remember, was like, yeah, I'll do it.
So
he was so cocky about it.
From any country.
Yeah.
So I got some interesting and sad information about how that works in the US.
Oh, yeah.
There's the good news. After incarceration, so once you've been released, you actually get a discount on some government programs in terms of, and on like private stuff like monthly premiums and out-of-pocket costs. Which is, you know, theoretically reasonable, I suppose, although it's for quite a short time.
Hmm.
However, and also it's time limited and numerous other, like, bullshit things. But also, while you're incarcerated, you're just not allowed to buy health insurance. Fuck it. If you can afford health insurance, if you previously had a health insurance plan private, nope, not anymore. You just get the shit health insurance now. Perfectly very reasonable.
That's fair.
Yeah, sure. It's a very weird system.
It is fair. It's fair. Fair. Fair, 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 fair.
Although apparently you can get Medicaid, just not private.
Oh, that's, yeah. I guess.
Although, sorry, no. If you're incarcerated, you can you can apply for Medicaid. Like, you can't private, but you can apply for Medicaid. But they won't pay for your medical care while you're in prison or jail. So you can pay for Medicaid for no reason, as far as that
right.
makes sense to me.
That awesome. Sounds like the States in a nutshell, really.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Right. That's been the Clip It podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. It started off and ended. How have you? Yeah. Any last things?
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Any last things you'd like to say? Anything you want to promote? Anything you want to shout out?
Xiaomi.
We're gonna get paid by them.
Tom Scott.
For fuck's sake.
He's gonna hear it one day and think I mean it, but I love it.
He would have clicked off by then. He wouldn't have heard you say you love him.
Oh, hell yeah. That's right. That works out for future.
What about you, Alfie?
I'd like to shout out whoever that person was. on Joe Rogan's podcast who just like told him some fact, and Joe Rogan was like, "Oh my god, what facts are true and the misinformation that I peddle isn't? That's crazy." And then
what,
just like
everybody, what? Like he literally goes on his show.
No, because he mostly recently he's been getting for the past couple of years he's been getting like yes men on that just like agree with him.
Please,
and be like, yes, COVID isn't true.
All I've seen at work is just like Joe Rogan podcast when there's nothing else to do.
Why have you got a Joe Rogan podcast on in the cinema?
It's on the big screen. I straight up believe that anyone that listens to the Joe Rogan podcast, for any reason other than like political discourse or like just seeing what the fuck Joe Rogan's up to, so they can criticize him, are literally insane.
He's
insane.
I liked his Robert Downey Jr. one. That was good.
Sure.
There you go. Anyway, that's been the Clip It podcast. I was joined by Agent Oink.
Thank you.
And Delicious.
Where's he?
I don't know. And that was an absolute pleasure. As always, have a good evening, good day, good night, good morning, and we'll see you in the next one.
Ta-ra!
Ta-ra! I was hoping for that.